Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at DReefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Good Sunday morning, Mary Jo.
Good morning. A beautiful, beautiful Sunday.
There's not even a cloud in the sky, which means it's going to be really hot.
Yeah.
So if you got to mow the yard, do it before noon, probably. It's going to be warm. You know, yesterday's show, I forgot to say this yesterday. We were supposed to have MLB Network's Brian Kenny on. I had kind of teased that in our Big Blue report this week. And we were. He was scheduled, but MLB Network called him in for something, I guess, and he had to cancel. So we may have him on again. But just so you know, I wasn't lying.
Yeah.
It was true. He just canceled. Today's guest, Kyle Tucker at 10 o'clock. Will be fun to talk to him. We haven't had a chance to talk to him since he changed jobs.
Right. But he's still covering Kentucky for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And he was at SEC Media Days and has a lot of good stuff from some of the other schools.
His new job with SEC Country makes him a football columnist, which means he's not just covering UK, which led to him asking Dan Mullen. If he was working for the Courier-Journal and all he was doing was UK's beat writer, he would not have any reason, really, unless he worked an angle or something, but he probably wouldn't have asked Dan Mullen anything about the situation there.
Yes.
So, yeah, it'll be good to talk to him because he really got it going. And then Josh Moore from the Lexington Herald Leader, he covers high school sports. He's at 9:30, and part of the reason, a big part of the reason, we're going to have him on is
he is the anti-Dan.
Yes, he plays Pokemon Go, enjoys it, is an enthusiast, and a defender. And is, if you listened yesterday, I spent a good 15 minutes going after it hard. So I figured, like in politics, you know, equal time, we should give Josh Moore a chance to tell why it's not the worst thing that's ever happened to our country or the world.
And then we've got a real basketball dichotomy today because something kind of happened last night and then something that was awesome happened last night. So the Bluegrass Boys, we had their coach Derek Anderson on yesterday. They end up losing in the very first game. They are a one seed. They lose to the 16 seed, and the $2 million is gone. The playing on ESPN, that's all gone. Just one game, and it's over. Crazy.
Oh, then, so bad. They were missing half their team, though.
Yes. So I know Mark Krebs had tweeted out, we didn't have time for the reinforcements to get here.
Yeah.
So maybe next year, if they're doing this tournament thing, they might push it back a week to allow some of those summer league guys to participate. But that being said, the other team didn't have guys who were playing, or maybe they did and, you know, weren't there either, and they ended up beating the Bluegrass Boys.
Those guys seem like they probably live in the same area, get together and play ball. Even without the tournament, they probably do it, you know, once every couple weeks or something like that. And then now that they were going to play in the tournament, they probably got together two, three times a week after work, whatever. You think, and they had some chemistry. The Bluegrass Boys had zero chemistry. But the great thing was,
I mean, so cool. Like the last
few minutes
of the Denver Phoenix
the fourth
summer
quarter,
league game. So featuring a back and forth between Jamal Murray and Tyler Ulis, ending of course with a long three at the buzzer from Tyler to win the game.
Crazy. That was such a... They put on a show.
They did.
They went back and forth. Like, to send it to overtime, Jamal Murray had to make a shot that was on a... It was on a ball that was batted out. He did a pump fake, drove in, nailed a little jumper, tied the game, went to overtime. In overtime, isolation on Ulis. He takes him to the hole, gets by him, but Ulis pokes the ball free. Murray recovers quickly enough to grab the ball and put it in to give the Nuggets the lead with like a
1.8 seconds
left. Yeah, 1.8 seconds left. So that was the game winner, you thought. Ulis inbounds, throws it in. The guy he throws it into sets a screen for him and throws it right back to him, and he hits a 28-footer.
Yeah, I mean, but it's a deep three.
Yeah. At the buzzer for the win. It was amazing. If you didn't see it, oh, my gosh. It was such a good sequence. And Murray wound up having 22 points in the second half. He was like 10 of 16 from the field, I believe, in the second half. What did he finish with, 29?
Yeah, 29.
Yeah. And Euless had, I don't remember, I want to say.
I think he had 19 points.
Yeah, 19, maybe like four assists and a turnover. But, I mean, it was clear that Euless is a stud.
Yeah.
He is one of the, like, not just if we're talking about, okay, people underrated him, whatever, or just Kentucky fans talking. Of the entire NBA Summer League that has happened, Euless is one of those names that's sticking out. And so is Jamal Murray's. And so is Trey Lyles. And then Euless said afterward, Booker went down. He said, when Booker went down. So he sounded like he meant, or he thought, you know, Booker was supposed to be playing all along. They didn't just shelve him because he's so good that they don't need to risk it anymore. He made it sound like, well, maybe Booker has something that's keeping him. I think I saw that he was going to play with USA Select Team.
Yeah.
Which is the team that scrimmages against the USA team.
Yes.
And maybe, I don't know, he tweaked something. And they just felt it'd be safer to let him play on the select team.
But it was fun watching Twitter last night after Tyler hit that shot because Trey Lyles tweeted out.
Yeah.
I told you guys about Tyler Euless.
Right.
Devin Booker tweeted out, you still asleep?
Yeah.
Yeah, or something like that. Mm-hmm. You still asleep or not? Like, you still sleeping on Tyler Euless? What did I tell you about him? And I just thought that was cool. And even Coach Cal tweeted about Jamal and Tyler.
I think he'll fit in there with Phoenix maybe as a second unit guy. He'll be a guy that'll get some minutes on that second unit.
I think he'll play.
Yeah. You figure Brandon Knight and Eric Bledsoe are in your starting backcourt. Devin Booker's probably in there too.
Yeah.
He's among the three guys who'll start. And then Archie Goodwin and Tyler Euless.
Isn't that second unit? Mind blowing.
It is.
The Phoenix Suns are consisted of all Wildcats almost.
You know, you say, okay, Kentucky, the Suns have all these guards, but when Bledsoe went down, Goodwin a lot of times would play second unit point guard. So Goodwin, you know, had to play some point at Kentucky. They didn't really want him to play point. And I don't think he's really what they want at point for the Suns either. So now Euless can play at that point, and mm-hmm. Goodwin is a great two guard to have.
Yeah, he played well the second half of last season.
Yeah.
I mean, he really earned himself a starting spot.
Yeah. So that'll be fun to watch the Suns.
Yeah. That'll be your, like, late night thing.
Yeah.
The Suns won't come on until 11 o'clock at night.
Right.
And so when nothing else is on.
Hopefully TNT will think enough of them to throw them on there, and we'll get to see them some. All right, so we'll talk a little bit about UK football as well, but I have to start with something that happened this morning, and it comes on the heels of, like, Derek Anderson yesterday telling us about his academy to teach kids how to be kind and generous and just life skills.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it made me think, I left yesterday's show thinking, you know, I need to smile more at people, say hello, just that kind of thing. Don't be cold and like a jerk. It's not like I'm a jerk all the time anyway.
No, you get caught up in your own life. It's, you know, everyone's life is so busy and hectic, and you just get caught up in it.
Right. But I'll find myself, like, walking into work in the morning and just be, I don't know, have blinders on or just be thinking about something. I won't even look at anybody else or say hello. And I don't mean it any wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know how anyone takes it, but they probably don't look at, oh, here comes this, you know, Dan, he's just such a bundle of joy to be around. You know, I don't. So maybe if I just walk through and like, hey, how's it going? Good morning. But in the morning, I just don't have that kind of personality. In the afternoon, I'm a lot more
jovial. Yeah,
friendly looking. But anyway. But I thought, yes, Derek is right. We should all just be a little kinder to one another. And we've seen some stuff, even here in Lexington, the video that went viral, or the story that went mm-hmm. viral about the Lexington police officer who had lunch with
Henry Earle.
Yeah, Henry Earle, a.k.a. James Brown, the guy that's around town and enjoys his beverages and
been arrested 5,000 times or whatever it is.
Yeah, he winds up in jail almost every day. There's really nothing they can do about it. He's just a fixture. He is what he is. But so, I mean, they don't treat him horribly. Instead, you know, a Lexington police officer takes him out to lunch. Now, I don't know what message you're going for is, yeah, it's okay to get arrested all the time and be a drunk around town and we still love you. Or it's just more like, you know, there are people in our community. I mean, he's not such a horrible guy. So anyway, it's an act of kindness. Should have more of those. So I want to know, I'll put it out to you, pose this particular scenario and see how you would react and whose fault it is, who the onus is on to be kind. So you go through drive-thru and listen to the order. So I'm listening to the whole order of donuts. Yeah, let me get a decaf coffee, one cream, two Splendas, a dozen glazed munchkins. Let me get two old fashioned. What are the ones with the sprinkles? The pink ones with the sprinkles. Yeah, two of those. How many donuts are you going to get, sir? How many donuts will you be having? Probably like a dozen and a half. Okay, sir, go ahead with your order. So that carries on.
And on.
I'm going, well, I'm going to be here for a minute, you know. All right, so that part, that's aggravating. But it is that man's right to go through the drive-thru and order a dozen and a half donuts and take, you know, forever. But it's frustrating, obviously.
Yes.
So if I'm a jerk in that situation, like, hey, come on, buddy, hurry up, then I'm a jerk.
Right.
All right. So I'm not. I'm just like, all right. Hey, Duncan handles it perfect. I mean, by the time he's up there paying, they're throwing the donuts out the window. They've got it. They've been filling his order as he's been saying it, you know? So I'm like, oh, perfect. Great. I just get a coffee. That's all I ever get. So I'm already going in like, I just need a coffee. Just can we get there? I get my coffee. They hand it to me no time. All right, so I pull up, looking at Harrodsburg Road, traffic's clear, ready to go. It's Sunday morning. I can see right through the minivan. The man is alone, and I can see that he's looking through everything that he just ordered.
All the donuts.
Right, he's checking his order for accuracy. I can tell that's what he's doing. So I give it a second, and I'm like, well, maybe he's almost done here. Nope, he's not done. I'm like, all right. This is it. I mean, come on. So I just give the horn a little tap. I don't lay on it like, it's just a, nah. You know, hey, somebody else is here. You're not alone in the parking lot of Dunkin' Donuts by yourself. There is a whole world around you that's moving and has things to do other than wait on you to check your donut order. So he looks up and now he's mad. And so then he like puts his head out the window and yells back at me. I don't know what he's yelling. You know,
but he's yelling.
Yeah. And I'm also not interested in getting out and getting into a big argument. I just need you to act like you are not the only person alive on planet Earth right now at this moment. That's all. Just a little consideration. If you would like to check your donut order, there are 10 parking spaces in the Dunkin' Donut parking lot that aren't on the verge of entering the roadway.
Yes.
You know. So it's clear there's no traffic. All right, so then after he's done yelling, then he decides, okay, I will move my car. Well, I look up, and here comes all the traffic.
Yeah, in the meantime.
That's been waiting. All of it's coming. So now we're waiting for the traffic that wasn't there until he was ready to go.
Yes.
And so then I throw up my hands like, unbelievable. And he sees that through his rearview mirror. Puts his head out the window again and yells at something. And I'm just like, you know, put my hands out there like, just go, just go, just go. So he does. And we're on the road. Okay, so it's Sunday morning. Everyone should know on Sunday morning, everything moves a little slower. We're not all heading to work. It's not all rush, rush, rush. So should I have been more considerate in sitting there and allowing him to do whatever he needs to do and take whatever time he needs to take to be ready to drive? Or is it incumbent upon him to have consideration that there may be other people that
existing in the world?
Yeah.
381-1313.
Because I've heard and been with people where they say, like, even my wife will say sometimes, like, honey, there's somebody behind us. Come on. Mm-hmm. They can wait. It will be maybe her attitude at times. Whereas my attitude always is, I'm not going to make you wait for whatever.
My thought would be, if you are in a situation where you're going to be ordering that many donuts and you aren't exactly sure what you want, then the drive-thru is not a place for you. The drive-thru is a place for when you know what you want to get, you go through, it's fast, it's whatever. But I think he probably should have gone into the store and placed his order.
Yeah.
Now, since he didn't, he did need to take a parking spot to count his donuts.
Yeah.
That's probably what I would, that's what I would say.
Well, see, I talked to somebody even this week.
Especially knowing that he was like, even I think the situation would have been different if he had just given you one of those wave offs, like, hey, sorry.
Right.
Just counting my donuts. I'm sorry. I didn't even see you back there. I will move.
That's it.
Instead of yelling back at you.
Right. Like mad.
Yeah.
That I would even have the audacity to need to do anything but wait for him to check his donuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I talked to somebody this week who said they never leave the drive-thru anymore without checking their order. Because, I mean, it happened to me like this week. My wife was out of town. I'm just trying to get my boys some dinner without it being a big hassle. I get home. Everything's not there. Somebody doesn't have, you know, dinner, which was me. I had to
which
be
is
the
worst case scenario.
Yeah, right, right. Forget the kids. I'm hungry. No. But, I can't go back now. I mean, the whole reason I went was for the convenience and time to make it quicker to take care of the boys. And so.
But, again, if you are ordering something that's 18 of things.
Right.
Then checking, and you want to check that.
Instead of checking, okay, 3 sandwiches, 3 fries. Okay. Yeah.
Also, donuts are different than dinner to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they accidentally put in one blueberry donut instead of one sprint, like, people are still going to be happy you're bringing them donuts.
They're donuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gotcha. All right. George wants to talk sports. Is this a sports show?
Did you call the right show?
Good morning, George. How's it going?
Good morning. I haven't called in a long time.
I know.
How are you, George? We haven't
heard you. Yeah, I know. It's been a dead summer, been busy. But in your situation.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just. I'm a different person because I'm a morning person. I'm that person that comes in with a smile on the face.
Right. Well, hey, the world needs those people to balance out the grumpy people.
I know. I've worked with a lot of grumpy people. But with a grumpy person, you just smile and wave. Like if you had blew at me and I was in the, you know, and I was the other guy.
Yeah.
When you had blew at me and made a gesture, I would have just waved and just said hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, I think, where the kindness gesture would have come in.
Mm-hmm. As for that guy, though, yeah, that order should have went in. But it happened to me 3 times this week.
This week?
I went to a drive-thru, and I didn't bother checking my bag.
Yeah.
And get home, and it was completely different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I kept saying to myself, I'm going to check the bag. But I would look behind me and see a long line.
Yeah.
I probably would have just pulled up, went in. But evil people just wave because everybody now is so wound tight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just the way society is now, it's like everybody has a short view.
You're right. Everybody's wired tight. Everybody is just kind of.
And we all think we need to be somewhere at a certain time. Yeah. We need to get this.
We all think we're the most important thing. Mm-hmm. We're the priority. But I'm talking a little common courtesy. Like, I try to be. I try not to put the burden on you, whatever it is I'm doing. So if I need to pull off or something like that. So if I go through a drive-thru and I'm going to check my order, I am going to pull off. Just pull off into one of the parking spots real quick.
Yes.
And I'll check it. But what I don't want to do is get crazy with somebody. Like,
no.
I could tell that guy. I mean, it looked to me like it wasn't like he was going to come out with a gun at me. So, but I also wasn't.
You also don't ever know.
Yeah, and I also wasn't yelling anything back, and I wasn't like giving him obscene gestures. I was just kind of like raising my hands, like "Go, you know, go, yeah. man."
Yeah.
But I am careful sometimes to I do watch myself because I don't want to wind up on the wrong end of a gun. People are crazy.
Yeah, and crazy and strapped.
Yeah, and strapped. Conceal carry. I mean, Kentucky's a concealed carry state. I just saw an article the other day with the number of concealed carry requests, like the number of people who are registered or asking to be registered for concealed carry, and it's way up.
Yeah. Nationwide.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I worked with a guy who was rolling down the interstate a couple years ago, and this dude pulled out a gun and started, you know, pointing it his way, and he took video of it, and it wound up on the news. But that's a guy I work with that happened to. I mean,
yeah. Okay. Enough of that.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Did you want to really talk sports? Because we could do that.
Oh, yeah. I was this season in football.
Yeah.
I mean, I told the guys earlier this week that. I agree with them that the first game is definitely a must-win.
Oh, Southern Miss?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's an
all-time must-win. It couldn't be any bigger.
It's a snowball rolling down a big old hill if they don't win that game.
Yeah, it's all on that game. There is no more pressure on any game than that game. Because anything after that, if you win it, okay, now there's another big game. You know, something else becomes a bigger game. If you lose it, it almost doesn't matter. I mean, you have have to win six after that to make people forget about that.
Yeah.
But it's going to be hard.
Well, they're going to forget about it when we jump to Florida anyway. Because Florida's, what, second game?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But for us, it's a must-win. Because I think Southern – well, are they down this year? Well, I know they're always tough.
They
always have a good defense.
I can't remember.
Florida, they did lose quite a bit on defense, but their second string is typically better than
most. Yeah, they still got the talent. They didn't lose any in recruiting or anything like that. I mean, Vernon Hargraves isn't there, but they're still Florida, you know.
No, I was talking about Southern Miss.
Oh, for Southern Miss? Well, Southern Miss, yeah, they've got a quarterback who's like on the – you know, one of the watch lists or whatever. But he's a good quarterback, a veteran quarterback, a guy who's been through it, and he's good.
Uh-huh.
And then they went, they won 9 games last year. Yeah. Have they been to 3 bowl games maybe, I think?
Okay.
So, but they do have a new offensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And I hope the other one doesn't pop out. I hope the one that we had pops out.
Yeah. Now, the one that Kentucky had...
Yeah.
He took what they want. Did they go up 28-0 on Louisiana, Monroe, or Tech, or whoever that was? Kentucky played last year to open the
Louisiana
game.
Lafayette,
yeah. Yes. It was 28-0, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was all attack downfield. And then the second half, those that didn't work, attack downfield didn't hit.
Nope.
So what if Southern Miss comes out and attacks downfield?
Oh, I think I'm pretty sure they're going to come out and air it out. They're going to test their back.
But
luckily, that is the strength of our defense.
Yeah, so they would be attacking the strength of Kentucky's defense. Kentucky has NFL players in its secondary. Chris Westry and Derek Beatty will play in the NFL.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Come on, George.
I mean, I understand.
They have the body type. I mean, they just have the build and makeup, and they're athletic enough to move the way you need to move. You know the. What do you call it? Quick twitch or whatever. You know, the ability to change direction quickly, you know.
It's just I've been a Cat fan a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've seen a lot and heard a lot, but I just – that's what I figure they're going to do. They're going to test our back first.
Yeah.
Because I think we're pretty good first game. Our linebackers are healthy. You know, everybody should be okay because, except for the cramping up, I know that's going to come.
Cramping up, yeah.
Yeah, you know, all of that. But one thing I can say is Tyler Ulysses and Trey Lyles is burning it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are.
Yep. Tyler Ulysses, what did he have the other night?
Well, he had 19 last night and hit the game winner.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't see the last night.
You didn't see last night?
Oh, he hit a game winner. That was
boxing was on. I was watching the boxing.
No, George, last night was the the talk.
You gotta go. You gotta go on Twitter or something and just look at the last.
Just go to NBA.com, click on Summer League. It'll be like front page center because it was Jamal Murray hit a shot to tie the game. Okay, send it to overtime. Then in overtime, Jamal Murray one on one with Ulis ISO gets by him. Ulis pokes the ball away. Murray recovers, grabs it, and throws it in with 1.8 seconds left to take the lead. So with 1.8 seconds left, Phoenix inbounds. The ball goes – Ulis inbounds, gets the ball back, and hits a 30-footer for the win.
Really?
Yeah, you need to see that.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
That should have made top play on ESPN.
It might have. I haven't watched SportsCenter last night or this morning.
I haven't either. No, Dante Wilder was on last night, heavyweight. They had heavyweight fight.
Okay.
It was on regular season.
All right.
Okay. Well,
thank you, George. Good to hear your voice again.
All right. Yeah. Good to hear from you again, George. Thank you. We got to get to a break because we're going to talk to Josh Moore in like just a few minutes.
Yes.
And we'll have him up here in just a few minutes on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
For the last 30 years, our law firm has been in a fistfight with the establishment. Gigantic insurance companies, big tobacco, the pharmaceutical industry, and oil companies like BP. We hit them hard where it counts, right in the pocketbook. Results of $1.2 billion, $90 million, $40 million. So many verdicts of more than $1 million over the years. Billions and billions of dollars for our clients. You heard that right. Billions. As a poor boy growing up in Kentucky, I remember what it was like to feel helpless against the powerful. When my brother was paralyzed at 18, I watched the establishment bully him in the legal system. I became enraged and vowed to one day fight back for all of us. This is all very personal to me. Let our experience and financial strength fight for you. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com. Offices, Lexington.
Hey, y'all, Bo Hunter here. For quite some time, I've been telling you about my favorite store, R&R Archery and Outdoors. Hunting season is almost here, and they've got great closeout prices on all Bear archery bows. Seriously, why would you even consider buying a new bow anywhere else? They have great prices on all their equipment, an amazing selection in stock, and offer setup and service of your new equipment that you just can't get from some big box store. Plus, now through September 30th, go to R&R Archery for the Hoyt Defiant Test Drive event. With the area's best indoor shooting range, you can test drive the new Defiant bow from Hoyt. While you're there, don't forget to enter the Hoyt Sweepstakes. You might just win a 2016 custom Ram truck from Hoyt. Remember, great closeout prices and all Bear bows, including the Apprentice, Escape, and Arena, while supplies last. When they're gone, they're gone. This is Bo Hunter. You can hit your target every time. With R&R Archery, 106 Osborne Way in the Walmart Shopping Center off I-75 in Georgetown.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The Dan and Mary Joe Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Joe on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Telling you what, Oscar Combs has gone in on Dan Dockich this morning on Twitter for the last 40 minutes. So since about 10 minutes till 9 until now, it has been a barrage.
TJ Walker from Rivals said what Oscar Combs just did to Dan Dockich isn't legal in most states.
Yeah, I mean, he starts off like, first, you're a very entertaining and usually knowledgeable TV analyst. You got that going for you, and I watch often. Having said that, you were so childish in the way you responded to fans' criticism directed at you about Tyler Ulis. You were so wrong. Because, you know, Dockich didn't have him as one of the top 5 point guards in the country. Always, you know, throwing barbs and stuff. But, you know, Dan Dockich knows what he's doing. He knows that he's going to get a rise out of UK fans. And he loves it. He wants, you know, this to happen. But, you know, he said that Tyler Ulis was not very good. And so Ulis is finally showing what he can do. Beyond college, again, proving people wrong in the, albeit Summer League. I mean, that's the next step for him is Ulis is going to hear, well, it was just Summer League. You're not playing against the real NBA guys. Whatever. So I haven't seen what Dockage said this time around, but I guess he probably responded to people saying, Dockage, you were so wrong about Euless, you know, eat crow.
Oh, but then it really goes on, doesn't it?
Yes. So let's get into Dan Dockage. Here's what Oscar Combs says to him. Remember you scoring a free throw against UK in your freshman year? Never scored another point against UK again. I was terribly disappointed. In fact, after checking the record book, looks like you never got off the IU bench in a UK-IU game again. That can't be true, can it? Oh, by the way, have you ever met Kelvin Sampson? Seems like I remember you spending time with him at IU when NCAA arrived in 2008. To set the record straight, I'm one of those who want to see the UK-IU series back on track. It was good for college hoops. It still can be.
Yes, the mighty have fallen,
yeah.
Just not in Lexington. Remember you bringing some kids to Rupp a few years ago? Bet they loved it. You have a nice weekend.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Also got into a little bit of the Joe Hall, Bobby Knight thing.
He said, yes, I have witnessed probation. I have not seen a UK coach use a whip or choke a player or toy with a blank pistol at a reporter. That would be Bobby Knight. Yeah, he got after him pretty good.
Yeah, I guess that 3-point shot to win the game last night really spurred something on in old Oscar.
Got it going, yeah. Well, yesterday we got off of sports a little bit to talk about this Pokemon Go thing because it's just taken over in so many ways. And I went in on all the bad things.
You went all in.
All the bad things, because there are a ton. There is no denying that there are some things happening that are just not good, like robbing, stabbing, falling off of things. It's just not good stuff. But there are many benefits, apparently, that others see in it, and we have heard a little bit about those, but did not talk about them. Josh Moore from the Lexington Herald Leader, he covers high school sports. He is a Pokemon Go player and enthusiast, and he does see the benefits, and he's going to give his side of things to combat my negativity about it. Next on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
For a long, long time in Lexington, Hearst Business Supply and Furniture Solutions has been downtown. Well, they've moved. There's a new location at 500 Buck Place off Greendale Road with a fabulous new working showroom. You can see your furniture in action. Just visit them, tour the new facility, or they can come to you. Take a chair test drive. They have it all for your office at Hearst. Office products, break room, bathroom, space planning, furniture, everything from the boardroom to the bathroom. No order too small or too large. No space too small or too large. No job is too small or too large. It's local, family-owned, third generation, and it's owned by a wonderful woman named Hope Hearst. Are you the person who orders office products, coffee, break room, bathroom supplies? Get it from one source. Visit HearstGroup.net with everything for the office. Think Hearst first.
Command and conquer.
That's really what you want to do when it comes to cleaning your home or office. You want to say, this is what needs to be done, and then you want it done, and you want it done well. That's why Command & Conquer Cleaning has so many satisfied customers. You tell them what you want done, and they take care of the rest. Cleaning your home or office with satisfaction guaranteed. Call or text 859-302-0142, 859-302-0142 for your free consultation and quote. Command & Conquer Cleaning provides a quality job at the most affordable prices. Locally owned and operated, so you get service unmatched in the business. Call or text Lori today for your free consultation and quote at 859-302-0142. That's 859-302-0142.
Command and conquer.
That's how cleaning should be.
Fleet Doc, can we help you?
Yeah, my car, it goes... Can you fix that?
Oh, no problem. We can fix that.
No matter if your vehicle is personal or business, Fleet Doc will take care of it with a 24-month nationwide guarantee on all parts and labor as a TechNet professional member. Even complimentary roadside assistance is available should you break down. Fleet Doc has everything to be your trusted vehicle doctor.
Visit us on Contract Street behind Green's Toyota in Lexington and online at fleet-doc.com.
Bingba, bingba.
Your trusted vehicle doctor. Fleet Doc.
ESPN Sports Radio.
It's alive!
1300. The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You don't mess with Oscar Combs. You just don't do it.
No, but Dan Dockich last night went all in on the Bluegrass Boys losing.
Yeah.
And he's calling some of those games, apparently,
yeah,
on ESPN.
Right. Which must be the highlight of his career.
And he said last night, he said, Summer League. Yes, BBN, you have my approval. Ulis is a nice Summer League player.
Yep. What I was saying a minute ago.
Love BBN. They go nuts over Summer League hoops. Ha ha.
Well, it's, you know, how many players does Indiana have in the Summer League? They have no opportunity to go nuts because it's not loaded with players from their university. Because they don't have players that get drafted the way Kentucky does. Dockage, he loves this stuff, though. He just loves it.
He loves it.
Yeah,
he's
it gives him something
troll.
To do. Yeah. But when you come at Oscar Combs.
Be prepared for what's coming back at
his
you.
His knowledge goes way back beyond yours. He's got facts to throw in your face. I mean, my favorites, though. I don't remember a coach, you know, choking a player, throwing a chair.
See, I love the... In fact, checking the record books, I don't think you got off the bench in the UK game. That can't be right, can it?
You hit a free throw as a freshman, and you never got off the bench again. Yeah, that's great. We've got Josh Moore on the phone from the Lexington Herald Leader. Covers high school sports. First, we'll start with high school sports really quickly to say that we saw on Twitter yesterday that LCA's Ryan Stuckey, he's a rising junior receiver, had 75 catches as a sophomore for 1,225 yards, 9 touchdowns. Really good player for an LCA team that has a lot of good players. But he caught the attention of Mark Stoops and the staff yesterday at UK's camp.
Yeah, LCA was they were getting a lot of buzz, a lot of positive buzz on Twitter yesterday. I saw the thing about Stoops asking about him. Who is this kid? He's about 6 foot, probably 175, 180, something like that. Still, you know, plenty of time to grow.
Yeah.
One of several juniors on that team. I mean, they've got a really strong junior class at LCA. They, I believe they won the middle school championship the year they were in eighth grade. So, you know, these are kids that, you know, all the football people know. I think they're ready for them. They're in a class where they should contend this year, I think. They, you know, took that first step last year, got to the playoffs, won a game, you know, ran into Danville. Obviously, there's no shame in losing to them. They're always there. So I think they're ready, though. I think they'll be stronger, and it'll be fun to have that program kind of in the mix again. You know, it's been several years since they won a state title and when Paul Raines was there. So,
well, I wrote the preview for that district for the Cat's Paws football yearbook, and you know, talked to Robbie Lucas at Somerset, and talked to Clay at Clevenger at Danville, and Zach down at Middlesboro, the head coach there, Massengill. But those guys talking to them, they like what they see out of LCA, but Somerset and Danville, especially like what they've got. I think Danville's probably has a little bit more question marks as far as holes to fill. Somerset has some really good talent. So even as talented as LCA will be, they got a big time running back in Dylan Wheatley. Drayden Burton is going to be used more as just an athletic change of pace guy from Wheatley. They got two quarterbacks who are capable of playing. And even as talented as they are, that is going to be one tough district just to come out of.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely, and that tends to be the case. Even, you know, it's one of those areas where, you know, either everyone's always really really good or everybody's, you know, still at a point where they can play with each other. I don't think it never really bottoms out, or at least hasn't seemed like over the past decade or so. So it should be a lot of fun to see what happens there.
Okay. Speaking of a lot of fun. did you get started playing? What's your experience with Pokemon Go?
Oh goodness. Well, I guess I was 6 or 7 when the first wave, you know, when it hit. I don't know how what you guys were doing then, but I was in first grade or second grade and just right at the peak of all that hysteria. So I was just hooked in, and I'm a child at heart. I've never really grew up out of anything, so this was just a natural, like, duh, I knew about this coming out for like 6 months. I was ready for it, I figured it'd be fun. I'll say this, I did not expect it to take off the way it did, just nationwide, worldwide. I mean, it's pretty remarkable seeing that. I mean, I think they saw that they'd reached more, like, downloaded users than Twitter and all this stuff. I mean, that's pretty crazy.
For Mary Jo and me, this was, you know, this came after our time. Like, when we would have been into something like this, it had already came, and we were, you know, on and upward. So we don't quite, can't probably get our heads around it as much. But I guess if it was like, Tom and Jerry game. I don't know. Something sure, that, yeah. How I would be so passionate.
Well, Charlie
about
Chaplin
it.
Something, or
I think what baffles me is just the level of motivation to do some crazy stuff. But I mean, maybe it's just has to do with common sense, and I guess the younger you are, maybe you have less of it than the older you are. Like an 18-year-old or a 21-year-old is gonna do more stupid things than a 35-year-old, but I mean, it's not like, Josh, you're wandering out at 12:30 at night into dark places to play it.
Or are you?
No, you do see the. It didn't. I wish I could say it surprised me to see people were using it for a malicious intent.
Yeah.
But people are bad. I mean, there are just some evil people out there, and they'll. You know, you could give them a puppy and a bunch of rainbows, and they'd find a way to rob somebody with it.
does the security stuff, does it concern you at all?
Yeah, does that bother you?
Well, see, now that's something you would think I should be, but I kind of go through life thinking that if someone wants to find something out about me, I'm a pretty public person. Pretty easy to access. And if they want to figure out what I'm doing or where I'm at, it wouldn't be too hard. I'm usually kind of pretty open about that. So I just roll the die and let it go. But it's definitely, I could understand why people would be, you know, concerned about that. And I think they've already, I don't know how much you all talked about what they've done to already kind of, alleviate some of that, behind the scenes stuff. But that, you know, it's definitely on their radar too. So hopefully they can. And because it really is about the kids. I mean, trying to protect the young kids that are playing it. That's really, I think, where the concern lies.
Yeah, with a child playing it, and the accesses to that kid. Yeah. But anyway, the good things about it. Okay, because I have seen you tweet about some good things about it. One of the positives is that a certain generation of people who are been less likely to exercise, I guess, more of the video games are now out and doing more exercise than maybe they ever have, is one.
I have seen people out at Veterans Park.
Yeah.
All over the park.
Now, Josh, you said you were at the Arboretum last night, right?
Yeah, I've only been to the Arboretum a handful of times. That was the most people I'd ever seen out there. I mean, they're in there. You can bet, probably every one out of two people that I was passing by, walking around, had their, phone in their hands, and you could hear, Pokeballs popping all over the place. And, and that's why, I mean, me and four friends went out there, and I can promise you two of them would never have left the house if it weren't for something like this. I mean, I got a lazy bunch of friends.
Yeah, but how many people did you pass that are out there walking in their 40s or 50s that are just annoyed that you have disrupted their routine?
You know, I don't think...
Didn't see that?
Not, at least not to where I could, you know, really, I guess, pick up on it. Maybe
that's because you were staring at your phone, Josh.
But you know, there were people out there that were just, you know, doing the thing. They're like, they're heading out, checking out the Arboretum. But also, that was a, you know, the other thing. I'd been to it, but I'd never really walked around. There were parts of it I just had never really went and checked out. And there were things I kind of noticed that parts that I had seen before just because of the game, because it has the little Pokestop things that they're kind of like historical markers in a sense. I mean, there are a lot of them are tied to historical markers and monuments and landmarks. And so I think if nothing else, it's a great way to just go. It's like a city guide almost.
To discover your city, your town. Yeah, I could see that. Some of them, though, I think like businesses or city councilmen or administrators or whatever, I think some of their concerns are over, well, some of these things you're not considering before you make them a Pokestop or whatever. There needs to be some kind of guide or limitation so that we can keep some things, I don't know if sacred would be the right word, but like Arlington National Cemetery, that's not a place to probably play Pokemon Go or that kind of thing. You know what I'm getting at, you know?
Yeah, and the kind of way that happens, all the Pokestops, the gyms, all the stuff in this game, all the data from it was gathered for another app that it's called
Ingress. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where all the data for this comes from. So I think at that point, that was just all about just visiting. You know, it was basically this without the Pokemon. Part.
Yeah.
That's something the developers should have taken into account. Like, yeah, we don't want people running around, you know, disrespecting people at the Holocaust Museum and stuff. Yeah, and that's something. I mean, hopefully they can remedy that.
Yeah. Too.
Now, Josh, do you think this is something like that a month from now you will still be interested in, or is this something that's like, this is so much fun for these next 2 weeks, and then it's kind of over with?
Well, I'll be keeping up with it because, I mean, it'll be harder for me personally because work. I mean, things are going to start ramping up here really soon again because of football season and it's in the rest of the fall sports season. But I think there'll be a drop off just because you're going to bring in so many people that are just, you know, wanting to be a part of it because everyone else is playing it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine. That's, you know, that I think they, whoever's, you know, running it, Nintendo, they understand that. But if you follow Pokemon, if you're a fan, there's a whole lot of stuff they can do with this to keep people engaged. I mean, there's like 700 other Pokemon that they can patch in. I mean, this is just the first like 150 that are even in the game right now. I mean, there's years worth of updates. I'm sure they've already kind of plotted out to keep people, you know, invested for a long time.
Well, I don't know how it works as far as who determines where a gym is or where a Pokestop is, but if you have any influence, Josh, I think the football stadiums, high school football stadiums around Fayette County need to become gyms and Pokestops every Friday night for – oh, let's say mid-August through mid-November, and let's get that attendance up.
I think that's a terrific idea, Dan. I may start filling out the forms. There's forms that businesses and institutions can go on and to apply to actually be them. I may try to get those into the hands of the athletic directors because that sounds like a really terrific idea.
This is maybe a silly question, but are there like in-app purchases, or how is this generating money?
Oh no, that's not silly at all. That's absolutely there. That's the case. I've not done it. Now I've got a roommate who did because, like I said, don't leave the house. There's items you use in the game and stuff, and you can. It's basically like other games. You can buy, you use real currency to buy fake currency.
Right.
Or you can actually play the game if it just kind of speeds things up like in most of those other things.
Yeah.
All right, before we let you go, we got to ask you this because football season's, you know, right around the corner here. We've got, gosh, maybe 4 or 5 weeks before the first game. August 19th, I believe, is opening night.
That's like a month.
Yeah. So District 7 and 8 in Class 6A, those are the Lexington districts that also include Madison, Central Clark County, and Scott County. Who you like? Who are your teams to come out of there?
Oh, goodness. Well, 8's going to be fun because you have, 8 is the one with Lafayette and Scott County there, right?
No, I'm sorry. Lafayette is in the 8th, and Scott County's in the 7th. So that would be my pick. My pick is Scott County to win District 7. I threw this on him. He's probably not
right. He was only prepared to talk Pokemon Go.
Right. He's probably still on vacation because he does have to take some time off because once it hits football season, there's no time off again until, like, June maybe.
Exactly. Scott County and Lafayette. I mean, they met in the region championship last year. Is there any reason to think that will change? I don't. I don't know. I mean, Henry Clay is going to be a little less strong. Station's going to be a little less strong. I don't understand why there would be any reason to think those two won't be. I mean, you never know. Injuries. Somebody that we don't know about yet kind of starts rising up the ranks. Maybe that'll, change things or shake things up there. But, and I think that'd be really fun to see. That game was really exciting last year. And no reason to think that it wouldn't be just as entertaining this year.
Yeah, I think that this has a chance to be a season where Scott County or Lafayette, one of those two, gets to the championship game. And for Lafayette, that would be getting back there.
Yeah,
we'd be getting back there again. And I don't know that, let's see, I guess I've got about 15 years of covering high school football in this area, a few years away, but I'm not sure if I remember a team with as much talent as the one Lafayette has this year. And that's even without
Landon Young. Without Landon Young, yeah.
And Mason Allstat.
they lost two of the best players that ever played at that school, and you look at them, you think, oh gosh, they might be in some ways better. I mean, in some ways they will be worse, but they're going to be a really tough out for everyone who gets them. And that's why I think it's the third week of the season. Trinity comes to town.
Yeah,
and we all know who followed saw what happened last year when they went. They had all the a lot of hype, felt really good about themselves, but they ran into that Trinity buzzsaw right from the get-go and couldn't recover.
Yeah.
It'll be really fun to see what happens this year. They may lose, but I don't think they're going to get that. They know what that looks like now.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really fun to see how they respond this year.
It was 70 to something last year, and Coach Eric Shaw said he gave credit to that game for getting their heads right, their attitudes, their motivation, and going forward after that, hey, this can't happen to us.
Yeah.
So that's that game circled. So hey, Josh, we appreciate it. We appreciate you coming on this morning, and enjoy the rest of the weekend and the rest of your vacation before it all gets rolling.
Thank you. You all do the same. Thanks for having me on, and go catch them all.
I love it. Thank you, Josh.
I think the last time we had Josh on, the last thing he said was go Cavs. Remember?
Yes. So he was right about that.
Yeah, he's good at getting those final words in. We'll be back with more here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this. On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Lucky's Auto Sports is Central Kentucky's largest window tinting facility. Defining rides since 1999. Want to cut down on glare while you're driving? Want to protect your interior? Want that stylish look of darker windows? Bring your car or truck to Lucky's Auto Sports for same day service and let us tint your windows today. Our staff has over 40 years experience and all the tools of the trade in auto tinting to ensure quality service. And all of our professional window tinting for your car, truck, RV, or SUV is backed by a lifetime warranty on bubbling, peeling, and fading. Lucky's Auto Sports only uses high-performance films, and all of our tint is computer cut. That means a machine cuts the tint before our technicians apply it to your vehicle's windows, so everything looks factory installed. Call us at 859-299-4411 or get a quote and download coupons at luckysautosports.com today. That's Lucky's Auto Sports. Your source for window tinting, auto and truck accessories, car audio, remote starts, and more.
Come here.
and conquer.
That's really what you want to do when it comes to cleaning your home or office. You want to say, this is what needs to be done, and then you want it done, and you want it done well. That's why Command and Conquer Cleaning has so many satisfied customers. You tell them what you want done, and they take care of the rest. Cleaning your home or office with satisfaction guaranteed. Call or text 859-302-0142, 859-302-0142 for your free consultation and quote. Command and Conquer Cleaning provides a quality job at the most affordable prices. Locally owned and operated, so you get service unmatched in the business. Call or text Lori today for your free consultation and quote at 859-302-0142. That's 859-302-0142.
Command and conquer.
That's how cleaning should be.
Hey, Lee, where are we?
We're at Sky Zone.
At Sky Zone. And why are we here? What do you do here?
Well, it's the greatest place on Earth.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And you can play dodgeball.
Yeah.
Dunk in the basketball goals.
Yeah.
The people here are awesome.
Yeah.
And you can jump in the foam zone.
Yeah. Cool. And your favorite is what?
Dodgeball.
Dodgeball. You play dodgeball over and over. And you're here all the time.
Yeah. Every weekend.
It's Sky Zone, Boston Road, and Man of War.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
So this Dan Dockich, Oscar Combs thing started last night.
Yeah.
When Dockich was trolling UK fans about the Bluegrass Boys losing and about BBN getting all excited about summer league hoops.
Right. Which, like I said, it's one of those things. Dockich just loves to do this. He loves the attention that it brings, and because he can say the ridiculous, and all it does is just, you know, it's like a Skip Bayless tactic, you know, just say something ridiculous because you know people are going to go, oh my gosh, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. And picks this fan base because they will respond back.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all he wants.
I mean, you can trash Summer League, say whatever you want, but it's still the better group of players. All right, from the college ranks, from Europe, whatever. It's the guys that are, you know, first-year professionals or second-year professionals.
I guarantee if Tyler Ulis was struggling during the summer league, Dockage's message would be,
right,
hey, BBN, I thought you said he could play at the next level. He can't even cut it in summer league.
Right.
I mean, then it would have been an important thing.
Exactly. Yep. But Kentucky has so many summer league guys because it's a two-year type deal. So this year's draft picks and last year's draft picks, unless they're like the rookie of the year, like Carl Anthony Towns, all the other ones are in there. So Willie Cauley-Stein and Scal Labissiere. Scal had a great summer league, had 19 points on Friday night. So it's fun for UK fans to watch. Indiana fans, I mean, is Yogi Ferrell playing for anybody?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Let's
Now they can continue to watch the tournament because the team from Indiana did win last night, featuring Christian Watford and Will Sheehy.
Well, that's because those guys don't have NBA Summer League deal contracts with teams, or they're not even in consideration to play on NBA teams. So that's why they're able to play, because Summer League guys were not able to play. And Kentucky had five or six Summer League guys, or the Bluegrass Boys anyway, had several Summer League guys.
So the highlights of Christian Watford's career were hitting a buzzer beater in the regular season and advancing to the second round of the tournament.
That's what he's got.
Yeah.
That's what he's got. All right, next we're talking to Kyle Tucker from SECCountry.com. Got to get used to saying that.
I know.
We'll do it next here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Summer is in full swing in Aurora. Complete your outdoor room and entertain friends and family with sizzling savings. 50 to 60% off hundreds of in-stock patio collections from top-of-the-line brands. Relax at the pool or in the shade with four-person lounge sets starting at $6.99.
Dine outdoors with the new five-piece dining set starting at $3.99.
Plus, get 30% off select outdoor accessories. Summer is here.
Get your backyard ready for summer fun.
Take advantage of the sizzling savings and hurry into Aurora.
Call 299-2932.
299-2932.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, WLHG Lexington, and LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
It's another Lexington Legends Jif Kids Club Sunday. Come out to Whitaker Bank Ballpark, where all Kids Club members can receive a free ticket when they show their membership card at the Legends box office. And all Kids Club members will have a Kids Happy Hour from 1 to 2, where they get to play for free for an entire hour. Sign your child up for free at LexingtonLegends.com.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
If I could give you two pieces of advice in choosing the law firm to represent you for your injuries, it would be simple. Pick a firm that's been around a long time. I've seen so many come and go. And pick a firm with the financial strength to give you the best chance to be fully compensated for what has been taken from you. Our battles have been against the establishment, tobacco companies, the pharmaceutical industry, insurance companies, and bully corporations. We advance on behalf of our clients millions of dollars, sometimes $1 million in a single case, to fight the giants. Whether it's a car crash case, workers' compensation, medical malpractice, or an insurance dispute, you need a firm which can match the other side dollar for dollar, toe to toe, so that you have a fighting chance. For 30 years, we've represented the people, not the powerful. Let us fight for you. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com. Offices Lexington.
I'm Joe Cerzozzi with Lexington Insurance Agency. We started working with Payroll Solutions in 2004. They take the whole payroll idea off our plate and reduces it down to about 5 minutes every couple of weeks, and that leaves us time to do all the things that we need to do that are productive to our business. We're in the insurance business, so obviously we're selling every day, and we use Payroll Solutions because the last thing we want to do is worry about payroll. Well, if you're doing your own payroll, it's just a waste of time if you can hire somebody like Payroll Solutions. Cost effectiveness of it, time savings are just tremendous. We've had great success with them. We're a local agency, try to keep everything here in town. If they're doing payroll with one of the big national firms, I'd also tell them to talk to the fellows over at Payroll Solutions and see what they can do for them locally and keep the money here in town. They make it really easy to do payroll. I mean, we don't even have to think about it. If we have problems, they're Johnny on the spot to fix it. Everything works like clockwork.
Call 859-255-7020 for your payroll solutions.
Never trust your appearance to just anyone. At Lexington's top-rated barbershop, Prince Cuts Barbershop, it's now better than ever. They've updated, renovated, and expanded to better suit clientele. Five flat screens and now eight new booths. Prince Cuts Barbershop, the most talented barbers in the city, will give you the style you deserve. At Prince Cuts, you can even book your appointment online at princecuts.com or give them a call at 299-CUT. Prince Cuts, not your ordinary barbershop. It's an experience. Located off Richmond Road behind Panera in front of Doubletree, Prince Cuts Barbershop, where you will get a style fit for Prince.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Joe Perino.
We were hoping to have Kyle Tucker from SECCountry.com on here. Maybe he still will be, but not at this moment. I did see that he tweeted out last night that he was at Turner Field in Atlanta. He probably spends more time in Atlanta because SECCountry.com is owned by the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, so he probably has to go down there for meetings and stuff, whatever. And if I'm in Atlanta on a Saturday night, Sunday morning, it's very possible that if you called me at 10 o'clock, I may not answer. So we can forgive
Kyle. We've
already
learned you're not cheerful in the morning, that you're more of an afternoon.
Definitely. Well, even worse than that, I'm not all that great in the afternoon because I'm sleepy because I had to get up in the morning.
Really? Between 6:30 and 7 o'clock at night is really when I'm at my best.
Yeah. You know, the second hour, the second shift that we both worked for years, that 2 o'clock
it
in the afternoon.
Ruins you for the mornings for the rest of your life.
Yeah. So that's when I'm at, 11, 26 is when you need, that's your, you got to be sharp,
yep.
Right? You're on live TV. You can't be sleepy. You need to be sharp. You need to, you know, you need to be good. So I've never been tired around that time. Never. It doesn't, like if you compare the workday of 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. and compare that workday to 2:30 to 11:30, so if you get sleepy after lunch at 1 or 2 in the afternoon, that would be, what, like 7 or 8 o'clock at night? And that never happened to me working those hours because lunch would be at 6:30 or 7, so you'd get sleepy at 8 or 9. Never. Never, ever. So I'm always have been at my best between that 2:30 to 11:30 midnight just because I worked those hours for so long, got used to it.
Yes.
And now at 8 o'clock, I am sharper in the morning. I'll give say that. You know, sharp.
I don't know that that's the case for me.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not happy about it, but I am sharper. Like, if I've got stuff to do, I'm better at writing it, doing it, whatever I need to do before lunch. After lunch, everything seems to slow down. I can be in the middle of typing and my head drop. I mean, it's like it's an uncontrollable thing that hits my brain.
I have found that too, only unfortunately I am typically driving back from Pikeville.
Oh, no!
When the sleepies come on.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah, but I mean, I loved that schedule.
Yeah.
And especially pre-kids,
yes.
When you could wake up at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And, it, I mean, that was a beautiful thing. Gosh, to get out of college and that be the job.
Yeah.
That you started working, because I never worked, even when I was a news reporter, I never worked the day shift. I've always worked night side.
Right.
And
loved that shift, yes.
Loved it.
I did too. Selfishly, though. Once you have kids,
it's tough.
Yeah.
Then it's really tough.
Even before I had kids, it was tough on my wife, just because she's home by herself every night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she works the normal hours. So see her in the morning before she goes to work. And then that's it until, and then a lot of times, many times, my days off would be during the week. They wouldn't be Saturday and Sunday.
Yes. Yeah.
Definitely not Friday night. So then you don't have your weekend with your spouse either. So if your days off are like Monday and Tuesday, well, it's just another work day for her.
Yes.
So it really, not like you're going to go to Tony's for a steak on Monday night.
Yeah.
You know, I got to get up in the morning, honey, you know? So
also, nobody listening cares about this like at all. But the other great thing about the second shift is like now if I've got a dentist appointment, I have to figure out how to get out of work and whatever. But when you don't have to be at work until 2 o'clock, you could go to the grocery store, you could go to set up doctor's appointments, whatever, like anything, and get it done. It was perfect. I missed that schedule.
Exercise. That's one thing I did for a little while. I won't say the whole time because the last 2 years of my time at Channel 36, I let it go a little bit. It was because of the kids. When I added the kids to the intersection of football and basketball season, because we all know who work in the business, when football and basketball season come together, it really picks up.
Yeah.
Then you add kids to it. So before that, though, gosh, I was in pretty good shape.
Yeah, like, me decent. Too. Like when they took the pictures that were taken for the banner that was used yesterday.
Yeah.
I was definitely exercising then.
I was working out 2 to 3 times a week, doing cardio at least a couple times a week.
Now, I've made it back this whole week. I've exercised every day this week. I have a Fitbit.
Yes.
That was in a drawer for the 3 months. I just didn't wear it. So it's back on and
let's go.
I know, let's do it. So
let's go.
I'm in all these, you know, the challenges, the step challenges.
Yeah.
And yesterday I get home and John had like 4,000 more steps than me already. And I was like, how'd you do that? He's like, you just sat for 2 hours doing a radio show and I've been chasing around a 10-month-old.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I guess.
That makes sense. Well, you could walk in place while you're doing the show.
Well, I'm just going to start doing that, just moving my arm up and down. That counts steps.
Does it really?
Yes.
So So if you move your arm, you can cheat it.
Yeah, absolutely. I put it on Sam one day. And he went and played basketball with his friends, and it looked like I was really on the move.
Well, I got to hand it to our guy, Ken Spencer. He's got two little girls, works the late shift that we were talking about, and he's in great shape. Yeah. And he has great hair. He's never coming on the show again now. Kyle Tucker is, though. We did get a hold of him. We finally got him, and he's on the line with us now. Good morning, Kyle. How's it going?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Kyle. How's the new gig?
It's awesome. I'm loving it.
How different is it?
Atlanta, is that right now?
Yeah, so I've been on the road for, I don't know, like 9-10 straight days. I went to Peach Jam and then drove straight to the SEC Media Days. And then my wife met me here in Atlanta since I actually missed our 7th wedding anniversary on the road earlier in the week. And we went to the Braves game last night and headed back to Lexington today. So
there you go. See, that's
wonderful. Yeah.
That's the life of a guy with no kids. This is how you make it work when you're in this business and the wife comes and joins you. Like, my wife travels a lot. I'm going to meet her, like, in Florida later because she's going to be down there. And I mean, that's how you got to do it.
That's right.
So how different is it for you to go from beat writer to columnist and covering a whole league, essentially?
It's definitely different. It was, to be quite honest, a little intimidating the first trip to SEC Media Days without one real specific focus. You know, there's 14 programs there, 14 head coaches, 3 players from every school. So that's what, 42 people. So I guess 56 people talked at SEC Media Days, if you don't count the commissioner and various other sort of leaders that were there. So it can be a little overwhelming, but it's cool. I'm really excited about it, especially going forward. The fall is going to be really, really fun. Speaking of being on the road a lot, I'll be traveling a lot, but I'll get to see a lot of great games, some of the best games in the country every week, and so I'm pretty pumped about it.
Well, you definitely got off to a big start, no doubt. If you were just covering UK, it's unlikely that you ask Dan Mullen, what if this was one of your family members that this had happened to? Would you still recruit the kid? I would imagine you kind of thought about that ahead of time, how you're going to approach that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about it since the news that they were going to take the kid and they were going to give him a 1-game suspension, despite the fact that he was caught on video repeatedly striking a woman in the face. It's just, I don't think anybody disagrees that 1 game is not enough. I mean, anybody in their right mind anyway. I think I tweeted at the time, weeks ago, the only thing I want to ask anybody involved in this decision was that question, because, and I got some angry Mississippi State fans saying what an outrageous question that is, but I don't in any way think that it is. I think it ought to be the standard we expect these coaches and administrators to apply when they're deciding, weighing talent versus behavior is, if this was my family that this person did this thing to, would I treat them the same way? Because, I mean, if not, how ridiculous. Would you apply a different standard to the way you treat your own family? I don't understand that. Does the rest of society not matter to you? And so I thought it was a perfectly fair question, and it was a terrible answer. And everything he had to say on the subject, really, frankly, pretty much was a terrible answer. His whole tone was terrible, that he wanted to talk about his sneakers all day was ridiculous. I just thought it was a pretty appalling performance by him, and I think it was universal, the opinion on that.
Were you surprised, considering it's been more than a month since Scott Strickland, the athletic director there, took heat for his interaction with the media about this same topic, that there wasn't a PR thing to
there's no plan.
There was no plan in place to talk about this.
That's the most surprising thing about it, is, who was advising this guy? Maybe he's beyond advising. And I think that's quite possible, too. He's a guy that doesn't care what his PR team has to say. But if there was anybody with any PR savvy that was talking to him in the last month, I mean, as you say, he had more than a month to prepare his remarks. He knew that he was going to face – if he had – paid any attention to the sort of the way his athletic director got grilled and how poorly that went, which he was conveniently gone from the SEC meetings when that happened. He had to know what he was going to face in Hoover. And the fact that he didn't have a good answer ready was really just, it was shocking. I assumed he would have some sort of way to deflect, but he certainly did not.
Or even Scott. When Scott is asked, Scott Strickland, the AD at Mississippi State, is asked point blank, what kind of message is this sending about violence against women? And he has no good answer at that point. Now, I can see that maybe he wasn't fully prepared for the amount of questions he was going to get possibly. But a month later, he can't say to Dan Mullen, I don't care what you think. I'm your athletic director. This is how we're going to respond to this. I can't believe that Scott even allowed it to get to this point.
Well, there's a lot of people's reputations and jobs on the line with this kid. By their accounting, he has done everything right since he got to their campus, and Dan Mullen saying he's getting unsolicited emails from people who didn't know who he was and then had a great interaction and found out later he was this star football player, which, you know, I'd love to have those printed out and sent to me. Maybe they are getting them.
Yeah.
But regardless, they say he's doing all the right things, but if he does one wrong thing, especially anything to do with violence, everyone involved in that decision should be fired, frankly, because they allowed him on the campus without sending him a real message about what the seriousness of that offense was. And so they put their necks on the line for him. Dan Mullen, the other shocking part of it, I don't know shocking, but it sort of certainly hit the wrong chord with me, was he kept saying how, I forgot what the word was, thrilled. He said he was thrilled to have him be part of their family. Yeah, maybe you feel that way, but I don't understand why you come out and that's your message.
Well, and Nick Saban had an interesting interaction with Paul Feinbaum in regards to Cam Robinson. And Nick, you know, who's certainly got a different level in the world of college football than Dan Mullen, you know, there is not any missed time for Cam Robinson. They're handling that all internally. What did you make of that?
Well, you know, you can agree or disagree with that decision, and I don't necessarily agree with it, but he at least has, ground to stand on there. They were not prosecuted for a crime. They did not commit a violent act. And so, you know, it is a different situation. I'm not saying it's one that I support what they were initially arrested for, but they were not prosecuted. And again, they did not commit a violent crime against anybody, and so, and certainly not against a woman. And so that's different. And I thought the interaction was interesting, but I think some of it was probably for show, because I think Paul Feinbaum and Nick Saban are have as good a relationship as anybody has with Nick Saban. So and they were, you know, they were smiling at the end of the first off camera conversation. So I don't think Nick Saban is too bothered by it. Be honest.
Well, and it makes for a great appearance this week coming up on the Paul Feinbaum Show, with Nick Saban coming on, I think, on Tuesday. But the similarities that I see between the two situations are that you had to handle it. It was a PR situation, and Alabama couldn't have done a better job. Instead of kind of avoiding it and acting like you guys are crazy for thinking there's a problem, Saban says, we don't condone the behavior, yet they weren't charged. And we've had them do ride-alongs with police officers. So we have a plan going forward. Whereas Dan Mullen, Scott Strickland, they could have had something to the effect of, he is going to take some courses on violence against women and what's wrong with it and how you can make better decisions in those situations. And he's going to speak to a couple local high schools about why you need to handle yourself differently in those situations. And then we'll see how that goes. And if that goes well, then it will just remain a one-game suspension. But they didn't do any of that. Instead, they leaked that he changed a tire for some women over the weekend.
Right. And, you know, I think that was a real difference, in addition to the difference in the details of the cases, that Saban, whether you liked it or not, what he said, he was able to clearly spell out what they were doing, punish guys, and to educate them. And how hard would that have been, as you say, for Dan Mullen to say the same things about Jeffrey Simmons? I don't understand what would have been so difficult to say, you know, here's what we're making him do, even if it were in relatively vague terms.
Yeah.
Switching gears for a minute, Kyle, what did you make of the media in general's response to what the expectations are for Kentucky this year?
Yeah, I think obviously the vote says they're a little bit higher. I think people are generally impressed with Mark Stoops. I think still relatively skeptical. I think, you know, there's a level of eye rolling because of how they finished the last two seasons, you know, about I'll believe it when I see it. But clearly they think more of Kentucky than they do three other programs in the league.
Well, and I was going to ask, do you think that's an indictment more on Vandy, South Carolina, Missouri just being perhaps awful this year?
Yeah, I do. I think it's a combination of, even though we haven't seen it come to fruition, I think Mark Stoops does project the idea that he has a plan. And I think it seems a little more hapless than some of the other programs. I think people expect South Carolina to be really bad this year. And not a lot of people believe in Will Muschamp as a head coach, obviously, after Florida. You know, that's a better job with better talent, and he didn't get it done there. So why would he get it done at South Carolina when they've hit a huge dip at the end of Steve Spurrier's time there? Vanderbilt has shown no indication that they can do anything other than play pretty good defense and have zero offense. And so, you know, there. I think it's as much an indictment, at least, of those other programs as it is a vote of confidence for Kentucky. I think after the top three teams in the East, there's really, it seems like a big mystery and kind of a toss-up at this point.
We're talking with SECCountry.com's Kyle Tucker. What did you make of Boone Williams not being one of the players that Mark Stoops took? I mean, you've got to take a defensive guy. You can't leave out John Toth. So did it just come down between a decision, do I take JoJo or Boom?
Well, I think part of it is, you know, Boom has had some issues. You know, he was suspended as a freshman. He was gone from the team for about a week with an undisclosed personal issue last year. He showed a little bit of displeasure at one point about his being on the sideline during one game. You know, I think, and he's not a senior. You know, I think they wanted to take a guy in JoJo who has tried to be the face of the program since he signed on as one of the first big recruits for Mark Stoops. He had that signature moment that a lot of people thought was the signature moment, what looked like the breakthrough when they beat South Carolina, really on his back with all the Wildcat plays. And he's exhausted and carried off the field by a trainer. And at the end, he has one of the best sort of, talking about that some in Hoover this week, one of the best organic PR moments that I've ever seen, where he just has this perfect spiel ready when the ESPN cameras go to him after that game. The fans are storming the field behind him. Mark Stoops is hugging him, and he says, you know, why not us? Why not Kentucky?
Yeah.
That was big, and they've replayed that video a gazillion times, and I think if they'd actually broken through that season and finished that off, the next week they're 5-1, you think there's no way they're not making a bowl game in the second year under Mark Stoops. That would have been, an even more sort of iconic moment, I think, for Kentucky football history. But still, he's been that guy that's been banging that drum since he got there. And I think they wanted to put him out there because, you know, he came to Hoover with that message. You know,
yeah.
That basically, Kentucky's going to get it done this year. They're going to break through, and that he's here as a senior to sort of finish what he started. And that would be a cool story if he's a big part of finally getting them to a bowl game this year, because he bought in. He was one of the first big-time guys, four-star recruit, to buy into what Mark Stoops was selling. And, he's had some high points but also some low points in these last 3 years.
And he was one of the darlings of Media Day.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everybody loved talking to him.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I think those of us who've covered Kentucky were thankful that old JoJo Kemp came back. We kind of gave him a hard time. I asked him, I said, so how bad are you going to beat Florida this year? And he laughed and said, you're not going to get me this time. If you remember, I think as a sophomore,
yeah,
the 2014 season, he basically said, we're going to go beat them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they made posters of him. And what's crazy, it's a profit.
They almost did. Yeah, I mean, they almost backed it up.
If the play clock had been administered properly, Kentucky probably wins that game, lost in triple overtime at the Swamp. But after that, boy, they shut him down for a while. When he came back, he was a zombie. You know, he wasn't gonna say anything mm-hmm. of interest for a couple of years. But he was back to being sort of the effervescent guy that he's been. You know, he was from the minute he walked through the door. He's got a huge personality. He's a good talker. He tied his own very nice bow tie mm-hmm. on a great looking suit. So I think people were drawn to him. And at SEC Media Days, it can become quite a grind and a little bit of a bore at times. And so anytime anybody comes out with a little personality, people are certainly drawn to that.
Well, now that you cover all of the SEC as far as football goes, as a columnist, what were your thoughts on, or maybe even you want to reveal your ballot, did you have Chris Westry on your all-SEC 1, 2, or 3 third-team defenses, or John Toth, or Boone Williams?
Yeah, I think I had all three of them in the mix at their position. I can't remember what they asked us to order them, and each position had a certain number
that
you had to order. I can't remember how many they're or how far down they were, but those were the three guys that were in the mix at their position for me. You know, and that I think Kentucky is slowly getting to the point where you know, they've got all SEC caliber players at, you know, multiple positions. I don't think they have enough yet, and they're certainly not deep enough behind their stars, but they've got guys that are as good as just about anybody in the league at a handful of positions now, and that's, you know, that's progress. That's sort of inching towards getting it done.
At any level of football, though, you need to have that quarterback. And Mark Stoops was so high on Drew Barker all through every interview that he had at SEC Media Days. What do you make of that? That he is. Oh, we lost Kyle.
What we make of it is the phone.
The phone went dead. Oh, my bad.
Lost the phone, but yeah, that's a good question. We're actually.
We probably need to take a break anyway.
We probably do need to take a break anyway. But if we get Kyle back on, we can just ask him that one question and let him go. He might be answering your question into a phone that is not connected right now. We've had some terrible luck here with Kyle today because when we first called him, we weren't able to get him. And then we do get him, and we're going right along, humming through things, and then we lost him there. But we've got him back. Kyle, we've probably kept you too long as it is, but hate to leave Mary Jo's question just out there dangling.
Yeah, because it was a great question.
Yes.
Sorry, I got halfway through it. Sorry about that.
Drew Barker, Mark Stoops sung his praises throughout SEC Media Days. Is that genuine? Do you believe that Drew Barker is going to have a breakout season?
Well, you know, one thing about Stoops, I don't think he likes to, I don't think he likes to put himself out there for guys that he's not sure about. I think he'd rather just not talk much about them if he's a little worried. You know.
Yeah, he'll say, I don't want to jinx him.
Yeah, we'll see. But I think he feels really good about the way he's taking care of business. You know, it's funny because before he came to Kentucky, he didn't have any kind of reputation as a troublemaker. And he had a couple really kind of stupid things he got involved in early in his time at Kentucky while he was sort of waiting his turn. And that happens with guys. You see high-level guys who are used to being the man, and then they're red-shirted, and they're hanging out, and they're trying, you know, they got time on their hands, and they know they're not being expected to be the guy, and, you know, silly, mischievous trouble sort of finds them, and so that happened with him, and he had to, I think, have a wake-up call that, at this level, every little mistake you make is going to be magnified, and you're going to be called into question, and so it seems like Stoops and the staff are really happy with how he's handled himself now that he is the guy, now that he's been put in that position where he's expected to be a leader. And it was always the case for him. If you remember the way he was in the recruiting process, I mean, he was the Pied Piper for that recruiting class. People flocked to him. Other players wanted to be around him. And I think that was the worrisome thing about his early behavior is that people were following him into mischief too. I mean, he was sort of leading the crew of goof-offs. And so guys want to follow him. And if he's doing the right things, I think he's got that natural leadership gene. And certainly he was a high-level talent that everybody wanted coming out of high school. He played in the U.S. Army All-America game. And, by all accounts, has elite-level talent. So if he's got the work ethic now and he's leading guys in the right direction, I think they're very excited about that.
They have to have him. If they don't have good quarterback play, it's going to be a lot of the same as what we've seen the last few years. Close and just not good enough. Well, Kyle, thank you very much. Congrats on the new gig with SECCountry.com. I know you've got to be excited about going around the SEC to whatever game you can talk yourself into, whether it be LSU at night or the Iron Bowl or whatever. I know that's going
to
be fun.
I plan to be at those, yeah.
Hey, thanks so much, Kyle. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, we'll talk soon.
Kyle Tucker there from SECCountry.com. If you go to that website, just quickly what it's about, I'll tell you, is they've gathered up guys who are in Kyle's situation. Kyle was working for the largest newspaper in the state of Kentucky that covers the University of Kentucky, and they grabbed him, and they've grabbed guys from around the SEC that do the same. And so they're using them as football columnists and to cover basketball and to cover the SEC.
Yep.
And so it's I've gone to that website, and they do a good job. They've got it. I mean, it's owned by the AJC, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, which is a very reputable paper. So it's a good website to check out, no doubt. We'll be back with more on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Russillo and Canal.
I talked to one GM that told me he had a team that was so far under the floor that they made a trade, and the team went from expecting million-dollar bonus checks at the end of the year to redistribute it to all the players on the team, and then they made this like last-minute trade to pick up an asset, and then there was another player that understood all the CBA and told the locker room, like, hey, you know that trade all cost each and every one of us $1 million?
Russillo and Canal.
Anyway, we'll be watching the NBA deals come in the next few days.
Russillo and Canal, 1-4 on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Are you the best in the bluegrass? Then go for the gold against Kentucky's top athletes. Join ESPN Sports Radio 1300 at the Bluegrass State Games. There's something for everyone, any age or ability. So get registered today to compete in over 30 sports, baseball to bowling, chess to cheerleading. Check it out online at bgsg.org. Bluegrass State Games, sponsored by the Kentucky Department of Travel and Tourism, LFUCG, Pepsi, Kentucky Utilities, Central Bank, the University of Kentucky, and Papa John's Pizza.
The volunteers of the Troubadour Concert Series and Hybrid Springwater present two legendary artists in one concert evening, Sean Colvin
came home to her favorite.
And Steve Earle. Colvin and Earle together in concert Tuesday, July 26th at the Lexington Opera House. For tickets, 233-3535, presented by Hybrid Springwater and ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Meditate like a Buddhist. That was a good talk we had with Kyle Tucker about UK football, some interesting stuff to think about going forward here. But looking back, though, on the Summer League and the Dan Dockich stuff that he was talking about. So right before we had Kyle on, we were talking about, you know, Indiana and who they have in the Summer League to even pay attention to. Well, Yogi Ferrell, he's with the Brooklyn Nets. So I can't even remember if he got drafted in the first round or whatever.
He didn't get drafted in the first round.
So just for comparison's sake, okay. If the Summer League is just so horrible, then if you're as good of a point guard as Yogi Ferrell, surely you should just, you know, light it up. Yogi is got, through four games, 7 assists. Tyler Ulis has had 2 games with 7 assists in each of those games. Mm-hmm. Tyler Ulis has 31 assists in Summer League play. Yogi Ferrell, 7. Yogi Ferrell, 9 turnovers in 4 games. Tyler Ulis, 7 turnovers in 6 games. Steals, 3 for Yogi. 16 for Tyler Ulis. Tyler Ulis is 2nd in all of Vegas Summer League in assists, 6.3 per game. Devin Booker's never won. So, who's the points leader? Trey Lyles, 29 points a game. Who's 2nd? Devin Booker, 26 points a game. Let's see where Tyler is. Jamal. Jamal's got to be.
He had a little bit of a slow start, but he's caught fire since.
Yeah, he's had 2 games where he's had quite a few points. But anyway, enough of that.
He'll be fine.
Yeah. Ernest is on the line, 381-1313, if you want to get in here. Good morning, Ernest. How are you?
I'm just marvelous. How are you?
We're good. All right.
What's going on?
Y'all talking about football and quarterback.
Yes.
What makes a quarterback?
Oh, gosh. There's a whole lot that makes a quarterback.
Right. But the two main things is you have to have a line that can protect him, and you got to have receivers that don't drop a ball.
That both are true.
Both make a huge difference. The good thing about Kentucky is four guys who started on the offensive line, so experience, are back. And if you could say, well, if the offensive line wasn't any good last year, it doesn't matter how many starters are coming back because they weren't any good. But experience, though, helps. I mean, game experience. One of the things that Phil Steele, who, you know, studies this college football and has put out this book for 22 years that just knows more than anything about it, one thing he always points to and something that comes back and is proven true is teams with the most experience on the offensive line, games started, do well. And it's one of his predictors that he uses. And Kentucky has a good mix of guys that with a lot of starts and then some younger guys that have played a lot.
Well, you go back, if you got the books and stuff, Kentucky has never had really a ball team that went to a big bowl with the exception of 50 and 51, Sugar Bowl and the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
And then they turn around and they give Bear Bryant a pocket watch and they give Rupp a Cadillac.
Well,
and spend all this money on that football field and still have losing team. But that's all I wanted, or to give something to the students. Now, I hope you have a blessed day, sir.
Thank you. You do the same, Ernest.
Thank you.
We appreciate the call. Appreciate you listening.
Now, that the pocket watch and the Cadillac story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. And I have also heard that it's just a myth. It's just that it's a rumor that's just made it this far. So, and then the spending on the football facility, it's one of those things now where
you have to do it.
Yeah, you've got to keep up. If you don't keep up, you're not going to be in it. And the fan base has clearly shown how much they care about football. And football is the revenue stream
for
the university, more than basketball. You may think, gosh, how could basketball not bring in more?
But like five times much more than basketball. And there's not one magic thing. It's everything put together, but you're probably not going to ever field that really good team if you don't kind of take care of the facilities and all that stuff. It all works together.
Yeah. I think, and we talked about this yesterday on the show, the line play and the receivers not dropping the ball is big. There's no doubt about it. And, I mean, my opinion was, as long as Drew Barker is not terrible, as long as he's somewhat accurate and has enough time to throw the ball, Kentucky should be fine. He doesn't have to be phenomenal. You know, he doesn't have to be great. As long as he's good, I think Kentucky has enough guys around him. That's always the thing. Coaches will say it. The people around your quarterback are a big part of how good you can be. Remember Tim Couch with the Browns? He didn't have anything around him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tim Couch's professional career.
And he takes all the heat for that.
Yeah. It would have been so much different if he would have gotten into a situation where he had a few pieces around him, but he didn't have anything. So
Did you happen to watch the ESPYs?
No, I missed it.
Okay.
I only saw a few pieces of it, but I didn't get to see the whole thing. I think that night I allowed the boys to stay up a little bit later and watch Jurassic World. Yeah.
Well, John Cena was phenomenal.
I saw his monologue. I saw his open,
which
I thought
was
great.
Funny, but he showed the parade in Cleveland and how 3 million people showed up or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And he said, and you still couldn't find one quarterback there? All those people in Cleveland,
right.
Not one good quarterback?
I did see that, yeah. So, if you look at the offensive line for Kentucky, John Toth, solid. All right. Ramsey Myers. Solid there. You got Kyle Meadows, who's played a lot.
Played.
The tackle position, I guess, is where they're worried more about the depth. You got George Asafo-Ajayi, who they've moved inside. He's not going to play tackle. He's going to play guard.
But he has played.
Yes, he has played. I'm trying to remember.
Well, Dan's like under the desk for some reason.
Well, I've got to get out the Phil Steele because I can't remember the other guard right off the top of my head. But, you know, one of the things that he talked about, Coach Stoops, at Media Days was the depth at tackle. Tackle was one of the spots where they looked and said, we've got to develop a little bit of depth there. Cole Mosier, which yes. who, of course, was a walk-on, not you know, he's on scholarship now, and he has played a lot. I think he's had two starts, 11 games in 2014, and then 11 games last season. So that's a lot. And then Tate Leavitt, more was expected of him, I think, and it's just an adjustment. And Eddie Grand said it's nothing he can't fix, so that's the good news. It's not an issue of talent. It's just an issue of repetition and yeah, getting it right. So Tate Leavitt, and then you add Landon Young to that. So if those guys can really come along, if you can see a big leap from Tate Leavitt in the first 4 or 5 weeks, you know, the first game, second game, that kind of thing. And then Nick Haynes is the guard I was thinking of, who has played a ton, who they're solid there, especially if you have Asafo Ajayi behind him. But then...
And a lot of times it's just keeping that line together. So if those guys can stay healthy, instead of having to, you know, switch up positions and players, if you can just keep one line together for the most part, you know, that would be huge for Drew Barker.
Another guy that you're going to see is Logan Sternberg. Big old boy. Let me see if I can find how big he is. He is just a monster. But then there's Mason Wolf, 6'6", 320, another big guy. So I think there's just a little more depth, a little bit more guys that they can, you know, move into the rotation that makes them feel better. Yeah, Sternberg, same size as Mason Wolf, 6'6", 318. He's a redshirt freshman, so, you know, he hasn't had a chance, and he's at guard. So the guard positions they're looking at, you know, two deep at each spot that they feel really good about. Mm-hmm. Too deep at left guard, too deep at right guard. It's just tackle depth issue because you can't – you're not going to play one guy at tackle all the snaps.
Right.
You know, so I think Landon Young, Tate Leavitt, Cole Mosier, the left tackle spot is that one that protects the blind side of the quarterback. So that's going to be big if they can get that. But I just think overall, and hearing Stoops as well, is it sounds like they've got more depth on the offensive line than maybe they've had. Receivers, you just got to think.
They've all played.
Yes. They've played enough. They know they've got to catch some of these passes. And they got a new coach. You just think that all of this is gonna lead to catches. Less drops, more catches. Because Lamar Thomas, I think, as a more inspirational guy, is someone that the receivers will play for more than Tommy Maynard. Nothing against Tommy Maynard. I just think you're talking about a guy who played in the NFL, who's not too...
His personality is infectious.
He's not too far removed from the age of the players. Mm-hmm. You know, he's still hip. He's still, you know, in touch. Can still relate to them, I think, in a way that will get them playing more for him.
And for me, Ryan Timmons has one last shot.
Yeah.
You know, and he is, it's certainly not been what he had hoped for as a career to this point. And so I do expect him to play a major role this year.
The other thing is, if Dorian Baker doesn't give you what you need to see from him, I don't think he's going to get as much rope. Because I think you got a Jabari Greenwood and a Taven Richardson. Taven Richardson has got the same kind of build as Dorian Baker, like the same body. I can remember Shannon Dawson would say, you don't see guys built like Dorian Baker walking around here very often. Well, they do have another one in Taven Richardson. So there won't be as much patience, I think, given to Baker as were before. Because I can remember hearing people say, say, get him out of the game then. Put his butt on the bench. Mm-hmm.
Oh, what's Taven, his incentive?
Yeah. We got Taven Richardson and Jabari Greenwood to add some incentive to those guys. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more. 381-1313 is the number to call here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The
way I treat her, singing
Aretha all over the Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
It's a great day to eat barbecue. My favorite thing is the cowbell. Moo!
My favorite thing is the slow-cooked meat. Their vinegar slaw reminds me of my grandma's house in Birmingham.
My favorite thing about City Barbecue is the atmosphere and food.
I love coming to City Barbecue because I love their fries.
Their pulled chicken is filled with flavor.
I love their turkey.
My favorite thing about City Barbecue is all of the smoked meat.
My favorite thing about City Barbecue is I always leave happier than when I got here.
Are you the best in the bluegrass? Then go for the gold against Kentucky's top athletes. Join ESPN Sports Radio 1300 at the Bluegrass State Game. There's something for everyone, any age or ability. So get registered today to compete in over 30 sports. Baseball to bowling, chess to cheerleading. Check it out online at bgsg.org. Bluegrass State Game, sponsored by the Kentucky Department of Travel and Tourism, LFUCG, Pepsi, Kentucky Utilities, Central Bank, the University of Kentucky, and Papa John's Pizza.
Treat your clothes like royalty by treating them to Emperor's Cleaners. With over 40 years of experience, Emperor's Cleaners has everything your clothes need. Fine clothiers even recommended Emperor's for brands like St. John's Knits. They specialize in same-day service. Bring in your shirts by 9 a.m. They'll be done the same day. Emperor's Cleaners is a family-run business, ensuring top-quality service. Located on Richmond Road in the Eidelauer Plaza, Emperor's Cleaners will treat you and your clothes like royalty.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
So we just had SEC Media Days. Think about it like this now. We go through this week, we go through next week, the following week, fall camp opens across the country. College football teams begin practicing two-a-days, all that stuff. Every single day, almost every day, 5 days a week, we will hear from Mark Stoops or DJ Elliott or Eddie Grant or Darren Henshaw or players or Drew Barker.
I can't wait. I mean, who doesn't love college football season and NFL football season? Like, it's just the best time.
Yeah.
It's just
it is.
Do you think that I don't know. I didn't pay attention to Vandy at SEC Media Day. Did they get any questions about Jordan Rogers? Their old quarterback who's front runner on The Bachelorette right now?
I do not know. I'm sure.
Who basically said he has no relationship with his brother Aaron, and that Aaron has basically chosen to abandon his family.
What?
Yeah. Said that about Aaron Rodgers.
Here's one thing that I think I know about Aaron. Is that he's not a party guy. Like, he's a more of a religious guy, and he's not a go out and have a good time guy. Jordan seems like go out, have a good time guy.
Yeah, he does.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's one of those things where
you should have seen the look on the Bachelorette's face when he told her, because he's made it to the hometowns now.
Mm-hmm.
When he told her that she was not going to meet Aaron. She was like, mwah, mwah. Like, that's why I'm keeping you around.
That's the whole reason you're here. No, but something did happen to a former Vandy player this week.
Yes.
Former Commodore Corey Beatty, sentenced to 15 years in prison on Friday for raping an unconscious female student in June of 2013. Stanford swimmer Brock Turner got 6 months for essentially the same crime. Expected to only serve 3 months for good behavior. He's going to be released like September 2nd in time for college football's opening weekend, by the way.
That turns my stomach. It just turns my stomach on all levels.
It's even worse that it happens when it happens in this climate, in this where we live today, where there is just a sense of unfairness, unequal treatment, and this is example number one right here. This isn't even in that same scenarios realms of cops pulling someone over and not treating them fairly. This is a judge, mm-hmm. one looking at a Stanford player, and one looking at a Vanderbilt player, which if you compare the two schools,
they're very similar.
Yeah, very similar, but you have white versus black, same crime, privilege gets off, not privilege does gets 15 years.
And I'm okay with the 15 years.
Right.
That's fine.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Deservedly so.
Right.
It's just that it should have been both ways.
Absolutely.
I mean, the Stanford kid
absolutely
100% should be spending a whole lot more time in jail.
Yes. It's unfortunate. It is unfortunate that that's how it went.
One other thing I didn't know, and I don't know, do we need to take one break before?
Okay. Just one.
I do want to, Dan comes up with these notes, you know, to kind of talk what things we can talk about over the weekend. I did not know this. I did not know that Mick Jagger.
Oh, you didn't know this?
No, is expecting a child with his girlfriend who is like 50 years younger than him.
Yeah. She's 29. He's 72.
And he's a great grandfather. And I mean, that's not fair. Like, he's not going to be alive. Like, he'll probably live to 100 because that's what they're
just
that's
out
what
of craziness.
All of the Rolling Stones are going to be doing.
So I don't even understand. I can't even wrap my head around what the baby will be in relation to the great-grandchild. Like, what is... Okay, so he has a great-grandchild. What is the baby? An aunt or an uncle? Baby great-uncle or aunt?
Yeah, that's a great-great-aunt, I guess. Yeah. Right? Is that right?
I don't know. No. Cousin. I don't know.
It's so crazy.
Mick's brother would be a great uncle.
Yes.
To his own child. I don't know. Let's contemplate that over the break. If you know the answer, 381-1313. We'll come back with more on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Fleet Doc, can we help you?
Yeah, my car, it goes... Can you fix that?
Oh, no problem. We can fix that.
Say goodbye to dealer prices. Fleet Doc is authorized to perform routine scheduled maintenance required to protect your vehicle warranty at an affordable price. They'll even shuttle you back and forth to work or stay and enjoy the clean, handicap-friendly facilities and free Wi-Fi.
Visit us on Contract Street behind Green's Toyota in Lexington and online at fleet-doc.com.
Bing-ba-bing-ba.
Your trusted vehicle doctor. Fleet Doc.
I was out mowing my lawn last weekend, and that's when I realized that even a small engine can have a big problem. That didn't sound good. So I went to Moses's, a one-stop shop for all your lawn equipment needs. From small engine repair to outdoor power equipment sales, Moses's does it all. And with experienced factory-trained techs, they have a reputation for fixing it right at 511 North Broadway, across from Broadway Mini Mart in Georgetown. Moses's, your local outdoor power experts that promise great service after every sale.
Summer is in full swing in Aurora. Complete your outdoor room and entertain friends and family with sizzling savings. 50 to 60% off hundreds of in-stock patio collections from top-of-the-line brands. Relax at the pool or in the shade with four-person lounge sets starting at $6.99.
Dine outdoors with a new five-piece dining set starting at $3.99.
Plus, get 30% off select outdoor accessories. Summer is here.
Get your backyard ready for summer fun.
Take advantage of the sizzling savings and hurry into Aurora.
Call 299-2932.
299-2932.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
So let's think about it this way. Okay, if my dad's grandkid... I'm that kid's uncle. So if I'm the son of the guy who's the great granddad, then I have to be the great uncle, right?
I guess.
I think so.
Yeah.
So you could, like, be best friends with your great uncle growing up because you're both infants. That's crazy. But you know what? Because of this, I asked my father-in-law about his brother, because his brother is 75 and he has a 3-year-old. I mean, so at 72, he did the same. He was a he became a father again at age 72.
Wow.
Yeah. I've been to
How's that going?
I don't know. I was at their house when I saw, you know, the wife, and I think his wife is probably in her 30s, not yet 40. And the infant was there, and he gets around just fine.
Is he in good shape? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's in good shape. He doesn't not like he feels like he's an old man or anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's in great shape. Obviously, to father a child at 72,
yeah,
be in good enough shape to do certain things. But even just me, I don't like being the age I am with my kids being as old as they are. Like, my mother, I think, was maybe 21 or 22. So just 20 years older, where mm-hmm. I am 35 years older than my kids instead of 21. So if I was 14 years younger right now, man,
would feel pretty good.
Yeah,
right?
Feel a lot better.
I don't know. I look at it because I just had a baby, you know, within the last year.
Yeah.
And this year, it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be celebrating my 40th birthday this year.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah. Yeah. Pretty big. It's a big one.
Maybe you'll get the treatment Jen Smith over at the Herald Leader guy.
I saw that.
Yeah.
But there, you know, so there's advantages. Now, am I in a much better place, you know, financially?
Yeah.
In, you know, just in life skills wise than I would have been 20 years ago.
Right.
Absolutely. Like, I'm much more well equipped to take care of a child right now. But in 10 years, when she's 10, I am only going to want to, like, ride around on a hover round. And she's going to feel sad that I am not able to, like, do things with her. Probably. I hope not. But probably. That's probably going to be the case.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't, when I think about who I was at age 25, probably not.
No, you wouldn't have, I mean, I wouldn't have been a
time.
Good mother.
No, mm-mm. Wouldn't have been a good time to do that.
But there's going to come a time where, like, you're 60.
Right.
And they're still, like.
They'll be, yeah, I mean, their lives will be getting going where they're mm-hmm. thinking about marriage and maybe having kids or the professional career's beginning and. Yeah, I'll be in my 60s.
Yeah.
So I got to get this health right so I can be in my 80s and still, you know, see them, you know. Interesting.
Man.
Interesting. But when you're 72.
Larry King has like 100 kids, right? And he's like 90.
That's right.
So he's still getting her done.
Yeah.
Gross.
All right, so next week when we come on the show. Next weekend when we come on the show, it'll just be a couple more weeks. I mean, once we get going here in a couple weeks, we're going to have so much football information to digest on a weekly basis. It's just going to be absolutely great. One other thing that came out of Media Days that we didn't mention yet was, and I kind of just said something to Kyle Tucker when he was talking about how much Stoops doesn't really like to endorse and praise and talk about certain players if he's mm-hmm. a little worried. Well, Matt Elam was one of those guys where he kind of talked about it and he said, don't jinx. I don't want to jinx him yet, but he's looking good. And he'll say that the time.
Yeah, I felt like he said that last year.
Yeah. He'll say that mm-hmm. about other guys. Don't tell him I told you this, but we really like what he's doing. But,
and maybe that's a way to, you know, to keep them motivated and to, you know, different guys need different, some need, you know, negative encouragement.
Right.
Or constructive criticism, I guess. And others need to just be positively talked about. So maybe that's what Matt Elam needs.
Big difference between last staff and this staff. I mm-hmm. felt like Joker and his guys, they would talk him up a little too much.
Yeah.
And then you wouldn't see that. And this one's more cautious. keep it a little closer to the vest. Don't want to say too much before we see the results. But Matt Elam is going to factor big.
He's going to have to. Yeah.
Thanks for listening this weekend. We'll talk to you again next weekend on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
Right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You know you love the Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
As far as you trusting me,